وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن رِّبًا لِّيَرْبُوَ فِي
That which he gave in usury in order that it may increase on other people's property hath no increase with Allah.
Welcome to Islamic Economy, a program that is aimed to make us understand what Islam tells us with regard to spending, with regard to saving money, to dealing with money.
God is looking for an economic system that's based on real things. It's based on real production. It's based on real services. It's based on creating real value for people.
Islamic Economy, a program that offers Islamic solutions to your economic problems in your daily lives.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Welcome to yet another episode of Islamic Economy. As we said earlier, this episode will inshallah be covering the different aspects of Islamic economy, what Islam has to say when it comes to spending, what Islam has to say when it comes to gifting, what Islam has to say when it comes to saving, what Islam has to say when it comes to giving a debt to another person, and many other discussions pertaining to Islamic economy, which inshallah we will talk about in these sessions that we have. But as we said before, coming to the main discussions, we have to understand a very fundamental issue, and that is that so long as the human being has not rectified and reformed himself, he will not be able to carry out what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects from him, the obedience that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anticipates from him, would not transpire if that human soul is not in the state of equilibrium. So it is very important for us to understand the human soul and look at its faculties and look at how we can make them in the state of balance, and thereafter try to think about what Islam has to say about the different issues on Islamic economy and what are the solutions Islam has to give and why, for example, such solutions have been given by Islam. Inshallah, we will look at that. But as we said, that first of all, let us consider our human soul. In the previous discussions, we looked at two important faculties of the human soul, and that is the faculty of the intellect and the faculty of the appetite. And we saw that how does it relate with Islamic economy. We said, for example, that if the intellect is not in its equilibrium and it is slow in understanding the realities, then you would find that a person would spend but not in the correct way. And that is why Islam has some solutions with regard to a person who does not know how to spend and is, for example, a simpleton. Similar with the case of a person who may be intellectually proper, sound, but when it comes to his desires and appetite, he goes to the extreme and he is overindulging in things. And because of that overindulgence and greed, you would find that he would overspend and he would not spend in the proper way. So this is how we related the two faculties with economic matters. Today, inshallah, we will look at this third important faculty that the human being has, and that is the faculty of anger, or the irascible faculty. Again, this faculty, like the previous two faculties, have three states. One is the extreme left, which is the state of tafriq. One, the extreme right, which is the state of ifrat, that is overindulgence. And then we have one state, which is the state of moderation, which is known as i'tidal. Now, when we talk about negligence, we find that in negligence with regard to the faculty of anger, there is the state of negligence is the state of al-jubna. What is al-jubna? Al-jubna is the state of cowardice. Your right is being taken away and you have the ability to go and tell the people or to report the person, but you are a coward, you don't want to go. You are afraid and you are a coward. Nothing will happen, but you are just a coward, you don't want to face the problems. Here you are told that do not be a coward. Jubna, the state of being negligent with regard to the faculty of anger is this, you know, those people who are called by Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam to fight in the plains of Karbala, and this was the best battle that a person could ever fight. But you find that they would tell Imam, for example, take my horses and take my weapons, but I don't want to come. This is that state of jubna. This is the state of being a coward. All right, this is that extreme left. And this is the state of immoderation of the faculty of anger. And then we have the extreme right, which is known in Arabic, it is called at-tahawwur. In small things a person gets angry. This also is not encouraged by Islam at all. You find in small things the person is sensitive and gets angry. This is an extreme right with regard to the faculty of anger. It is not a moderate state. The state of moderation is known as ash-shaja'a, that is bravery. This is when the person is in the state of moderation. Otherwise, you see, today if you go and see America and other places, many of these countries who are using bombs and ammunitions and different warfare and killing innocent civilians or throwing it, it is because of this quwwatul ghadabiyya, which is in its extreme right. You find that when a person is extremely rash and makes small things and makes very violent reactions to come out from him, he is known as a person who is mutahawwir, a person who has come out from the state of moderation and gone towards the extreme. This is a person that is reprimanded and abhorred in Islam, because the faculty of anger is not in its equilibrium. When it is in its equilibrium, it is known as the state of shuja'a. And this state of shuja'a is the best state a person can ever have when it comes to this faculty of the human being, that is the faculty of anger, the irascible faculty. When we relate it with economy, as I said, you know, we find that there are so many people who do a lot of brutal things. Like, for example, very simple example, throwing bombs or putting bombs near places where you know that innocent civilians will die. Out of anger, this is something which is now beyond the moderation level. When a person is extremely angry and he doesn't drive his anger according to his intellect, it is his personal anger and he wants to kill another person. Or for example, because of his personal animosity and anger against such a person, for example, a certain person, he gives a lot of money to another person just to kill that person. This is known as at-tahawwur. This is now extreme right. The only time when a person would be successful is when he is in the state of shaja'a. He is not a coward, nor is he a mutahawwir. Such a person, you would find, he would not spend lavishly or he would not waste his money to kill innocent civilians. This is how we find that how the faculty of anger is related to economic issues. So basically, we have covered these three important faculties. Now, what is important is that if a person can maintain the faculty of appetite and the faculty of anger under the rule of the faculty of the intellect, then he comes with a soul which is at peace. All right? Then he is in a station whereby he is peaceful inside. And because he is peaceful inside, you'd find that the reactions outside also would be very peaceful. Why? Because he has got inner peace, because everything is in the state of equilibrium. The reason why you find that a great soldier like Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam in the plains of Karbala, being extremely calm, having no problems, and even in the last moments, some of the narrators narrate that, you know, the state of Imam would be in such a way that his face would glow and he was extremely in the state of happiness. Why? Because he is in the state of itmi'nanun nafs, an nafsul mutma'inna. He is in that state whereby all of his faculties are in the state of equilibrium. If a person understands this reality and struggles to make his soul at equilibrium, in the state of equilibrium and in the state of moderation, then you would find that all of his economic dealings would be in the state of balance. Even when, for example, he wants to give sadaqah, he will look at the person whom he is giving. He will do it in a very intellectual and methodical way. And he would not just throw his money just like that. He would not just say, okay, this person is poor. I don't know what is his background. For what is he using the money? I can give him however I want and so on. He's not going to do that. He's going to weigh the situation. If he deserves more, he would give him more. If he deserves less, he would give him less. If he cannot spend money, then he would give him some commodity. But he would do things which are of a balanced nature. He would not go to the extremes. This is known as Siratul Mustaqim, according to great scholars like Mulla Hadi Sabzawari in his very famous book, Sharhul Asma, where he talks about the commentary of the Dua Jawshan Kabir. He mentions this, that when these three faculties of the human being are at their equilibrium, this is known as As-Siratul Mustaqim, which is thinner than the hair, and sharper than the sword, and hotter than the fire. Now this is something that we cannot understand. We think, you know, it's literally thinner than the hair. But when he tells us thinner than the hair, it means the subtleties of this reality is such that, you know, a person cannot say that, okay, I will attain it within a short duration. No, you need a jihad. That is why it is very important for us to understand the very powerful statement of Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran, who did not use another word. He used jihad. When he used jihad, it shows that there is a struggle. Where does the struggle start from? The nafs. Because even when you are doing jihad outside, it is by the nafs that you are doing jihad. Alright? So this is very important. Inshallah, we will look at the main discussions in our next episode. For the moment, we have come to realize that we have three faculties which are very important. And if we put these three faculties in their state of equilibrium, then whatever we would do outside would be peaceful, and our economic dealings would be something which would be according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires from us. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin.
Ya Rabbi bin Mustafa, balligh maqasidana, waghfir lana ma mada, ya wasi al-karami. O my Creator, O Allah, fulfill our aims in life, Allah. Forgive our sins, Ya Allah. O Allah, the most gracious. O Allah, the most gracious. Ya